Good afternoon and welcome. Welcome indeed to hour number two of the Mark Moses Show. Only right here on Sports Radio 1560 The Fan. And let's get ready for the college football weekend with my good friend Joe Lisi. GoForThe2.com does a great job. My man Joe, how you doing today?
Looking for a great weekend of college football, Mark. Doesn't get better than this. The final stretch run for the first third part of the season is coming this weekend, but I can't wait.
All right, I'll put you on the spot. What's your game of the weekend? Gut reaction, the game you really want to watch.
Yeah, I want to see Virginia-Notre Dame, believe it or not. That's a game I have my eye on. I want to see Bryce Perkins and the crew undefeated in the ACC this year. They're a possible sleeper for the Coastal, and Notre Dame coming off a very impressive loss to Georgia last week, 23-17. How do they rebound at home when all eyes are on the Irish this coming Saturday? It should be a very intriguing battle.
Do you like Georgia after they won very closely against Notre Dame? I mean, has it changed your opinion on Georgia? Maybe that's the better question.
Well, I wasn't as high, and I'm a Georgia fan, so let me just say that. I wasn't as high on Georgia entering the season as a lot of people. I picked them at 10-2 overall. I didn't even have them winning the SEC East. I had Missouri getting the nod over the Bulldogs. I do not like Georgia's schedule heading into the month of November now. They got a gutty win against Notre Dame. Defense played very well in terms of the front seven. But they need to rush the football consistently. And what I mean by that is pound the rock for over 200 yards. When they do that, they win football games. Entering that battle against Notre Dame, they were 24-0 since 2016 every time they pound the rock for over 200 yards, and they won those games by 28.8 points per game. Going to be very difficult as they navigate through the SEC East against some of the better teams this year.
What do you think of the Gators then as they switch to Kyle Trask?
I think Kyle Trask it could possibly be a slight upgrade to Felipe Franks. Now, Franks is a more athletic quarterback. He brings an added dimension with his ability to put pressure on opposing defenses on the perimeter when he rolls outside the pocket. But I think the team plays more within their system with Kyle Trask at the helm. Now, they're going to need to run the football more consistently. They're only averaging around 140 rushing yards per game. They need to get up in the area of about 170 or 180 for me to start back in Florida as a team to beat within the SEC. But we'll see how they can do it. I think, as the year progresses, this is a team you have to keep an eye out on.
Yeah, we're going to find out. I got something for you. I just saw this on Priceline. I'll give them a shout out here. The cheapest hotel in Gainesville for Florida Auburn, the game of the weekend next weekend, is over $600, buddy. That's insane. Oh, we can go to Europe if you want with our flight. Oh, my God. So crazy. All right. You look at the SEC. We're here with Joe Lisi. Go for the two. Is Bama pound for pound still your best team?
They are. I mean, they're taking on an Ole Miss team in recent years that they've dominated now. I mean, at the start of the year, Alabama had the weakest SEC schedule in terms of combined winning percentage of their 2019 opponents at 518%. Entering the 2019, they were 26-1 against SEC opponents and won those games by an average margin of victory at 27.5 points per game. And when you look at this matchup against Ole Miss, they've won the last three, Mark, by an average margin of victory of 39.4 points per game. Since 2016, they're 23-0 at home in Bryan Denny, and they've won those games by an average margin of victory of 34 points per game. Yeah, they're the kings of the SEC. Until somebody knocks them off, I'm back in Alabama this year.
Okay. Do you like LSU with Joe Burrow and how they played?
I love LSU. I think LSU, if there's one team within the SEC that can knock off Alabama, it is LSU, and it's because of their quarterback, Joe Burrow, but it's also because of their defense. Their defense is as physical at the point of attack, not just in the front seven, but in the secondary that can play man-to-man coverage to get pressure onto or off the edge. And I think that's the biggest matchup. You saw Clemson be able to do that in the national championship game. and forced turnovers. You look at Tua this year, completion percentage over 70%, 17 touchdowns, no interceptions. But LSU hasn't been able to do it. 8 straight losses by an average margin of defeat of 15 points per game. But I'm back in LSU as the team to do it in 2019.
It's going to be interesting. I cannot wait for October. It's going to be so crazy. Because it just feels like we've been Cupcake City the last couple weeks. Like, I'm ready for October, buddy.
Yeah, this is what it's all about now. Now we took the training wheels off, Mark, and now we're really going to see which teams in the conference are head and shoulders above the rest. We have some great teams playing out, like you mentioned, Florida and Auburn. We have Auburn, Texas A&M, Auburn, Georgia in November. I mean, it doesn't get better than this if you love SEC football.
Okay, Florida State, I have to ask you. They won last week. Who do they have, NC State this weekend? What's going on with Willie Taggart in your eyes?
Lack of consistency. I think that's what it comes down to, Mark. This was a team last year that couldn't run the football. They still can't run the football this year. And quite honestly, they're an undisciplined football team, not just from the scheme perspective, but they make mistakes and penalties that really cost them ball games. Now, they got a gutty win last week. I mean, it looked like Louisville could possibly strike the upset, but they found a way to get that victory. But they should have gotten that victory. Now they play a team in NC State that they lost to last year in Raleigh, and NC State was able to challenge that Florida State defense over the top. I think from a scheme perspective, NC State matches up very well against Florida State. Now, I'm calling for the upset. I'm not sold on what Willie Taggart's done. I think the Wolfpack get the road win in Tallahassee Saturday night.
Okay, the other game here in the state, Virginia Tech, got to say that right. Virginia Tech, the Hokies, taking on Miami. I don't know what to think of this game. What about you, Joe?
Yeah, from the gambling perspective, Mark, I mean, Virginia Tech has won 3 straight over Duke by an average margin of victory of 13.6 points per game and got this victory last year, 31-14. Ryan Willis played very well, but the front 7 of Duke is very underrated. They're holding opposing offenses to 140 rushing yards per game, held all 3 opponents this year under 150, and one of those teams was the Alabama Crimson Tide, week number 1. They're physical at the point of attack and have a senior quarterback in Quentin Harris. I think they're the more complete team heading into this matchup. They're catching 2.5-3 points. I like them to win the ball game outright. Not sold on Virginia Tech. They're giving up 174 rushing yards per game entering this matchup. Not sold on Bob Foster and the crew in this ballgame.
Hey, I apologize for this. My bad. We're live on the air here with Joe Lisi, great friend of mine with GoForThe2.com. I thought Virginia Tech Miami was this weekend. The Hurricanes must have a bye week then and play them next weekend. I apologize for that, buddy.
That's all right. It's Virginia Tech and Duke tonight, but it's a great game, man. I mean, that's a great team. And I think the look ahead, though, Mark, too, the look ahead to that Miami game could play a factor for the Hokies. They've played down to the competition against Old Dominion and Furman, won that ball game against ODU by 14 points and 7 against Furman. I think Justin Fuente is losing that team slowly. There's a lot of rumblings in Blacksburg, so keep an eye out for that after this ball game.
UCF, they lost to Pitt on the Pitt special. Where do they go from here now?
Well, now they have the rebound. I mean, that's the one thing now. If you want to play with the big boys and you want to be mentioned with some of the Power 5 teams, this is what happens in some of the adversity that happens when you play a tough schedule. Now, it was the first time that UCF played back-to-back Power 5 opponents since 2016. They played Michigan and Maryland in 2016 when Scott Frost was there and lost both of those ballgames. Now they have to bounce back. They have to run the table, get back to a conference championship. I think they can do it. I think when you look at the quarterback play of this team with Gabriel, you have Mack, you have Wimbush, they are loaded and they can still run the football. I mean, they just have to limit mental mistakes that hurt them in the fourth quarter. But as long as they do that, I think they can run the table the rest of the way.
All right, let's go to the Big Ten. We're here with Joe Lisi. You got Ohio State, Nebraska. How good are the Buckeyes here in 2019?
They're great, and I picked Ohio State to win the Big Ten this year. I mean, just to give you an odd on, since 2015, this team is, well, now 34-4 against Big Ten opponents. But They knocked off Indiana on the road by 41 points, 51-10. And it starts at the quarterback position with Justin Fields. 13 touchdowns, no interceptions, completing 69% of his passes. And they've won the last three games against Nebraska by an average margin of victory of 35.3 points per game. But I think Nebraska is going to be a live dog here. This is why they hired Scott Frost. You saw Michigan and Jim Harbaugh fail on the road in Wisconsin and Camp Randall. This is a make-it-or-break-it game to change the program and change the culture. They lost to Ohio State last year in Columbus 36-31. I think they push Ohio State to the limit in this ballgame. Ohio State wins, but it's a lot closer than people think Saturday night in Memorial Stadium.
Here's what's interesting. Ohio State won the Big Ten last year. Dwayne Haskins threw 50 touchdowns or whatever. I mean, the guy was a stud. First-round pick to the Redskins. Is Fields better right now than what Dwayne Haskins was doing last year?
He's a different type of quarterback. He's an athletic quarterback that can run outside the pocket. They can utilize him with RPO packages. So I'd say he's a different type of quarterback. I mean, what we saw in terms of Dwayne Haskins and his progression from a pocket passing standpoint, you can't take that away from him. But I think Justin Fields, he was a top five recruit for Georgia, best quarterback in the country 2 years ago. We're starting to see why Georgia recruited him the way they did. So now Ryan Day is cultivating that talent up. It's going to be a very interesting season for the Buckeyes as they navigate through a Big Ten play, but it starts this coming Saturday night in Lincoln.
All right, Jim Harbaugh, does he coach Michigan next year?
I think he does. You still have some tough games for Michigan. They have to play Notre Dame. They have to play Penn State. And ultimately, they have to play Ohio State. Everything is right in front of them. And they need to rebound in a big way, just the way UCF did. But it starts this weekend against Rutgers. Even though it's Rutgers, they need to dominate this ballgame and then move on from there. As long as they beat Ohio State, I think many Michigan fans will say this is a successful season. Now, do they get to the college football playoff? Do they get to the Big Ten championship? That remains to be seen. But this is a team since 2019 under Jim Harbaugh, 2016, that is still 9-10 on the road or on a neutral field site. They need to do a better job on the road in 2019 to get back to where they need to be.
Joe Lisi, go for the two. We've been talking SEC, ACC. I got one more for you. Is Wisconsin a real contender for the playoff after what you saw last week?
Without a doubt. Now, as long as Jack Cohn plays within the system, I think they're going to be just fine. As long as they can run the football consistently and, more importantly, utilize Jonathan Taylor in the short to intermediate passing game, he brings an added dimension. Entering that ballgame against Michigan, they were rushing for over 200, but they were also passing for over 200 yards. Entering this weekend's ballgame, they are converting 56% on third downs. So that's an unbelievable statistic to carry through the rest of the way. If they maintain drives, Mark, they're going to hold on to the football and keep opposing offenses on the sidelines. So you have to say, if they get to the Big Ten championship game, do they match up well against Ohio State or any team that they're going to have to face? I think they do, as long as they run the football and play defense like they're doing, holding opposing offenses to only 4 points per game, 14 points per game, excuse me. That's an unbelievable effort.
You're absolutely right. Big 12, as we're going around the country for college football here on a Friday with Joe Lisi. Big 12, is it Oklahoma and everyone else moving forward?
I don't think it is right now. I think there's two teams that are playing in Waco this coming Saturday that you have to keep an eye out on. I think you have to keep an eye out for Matt Campbell and Iowa State. You have to keep an eye out for Charlie Brewer and Baylor. Whichever team emerges from this contest victorious, they are, in my opinion, a team to challenge for at least the second spot within the Big 12. They play solid defense, force teams to work down the field, and they have elite quarterbacks in Brock Purdy and Charlie Brewer that make those players around them very better. They bring them up to another level. So, you know, two blue-collar head coaches, and Matt Campbell and Matt Rhule, keep an eye out for both of those teams as Big 12 play takes on in October and November.
Okay, Oklahoma, back to them. Are they going to do it 3 years in a row with great quarterback play?
Well, when you say do it, I think they're obviously the front runner now, averaging 670 total yards per game of offense with Jalen Hurts at the helm. I mean, he's completed 80% of his passes, 9 touchdowns, no interceptions. And when you look at, you know, this matchup this coming Saturday against Texas Tech, they've won 7 straight games over the Red Raiders by an average margin of victory of 17 points per game. But I like Texas Tech in this ball game to keep this game close. Bowman will not start. Jet Duffy gets the start. And Matt Wells is a defensive-minded coach. You look at Oklahoma in Big 12 play, 9-1 last year, and they won those games by 18.6 points per game. They're the front runners right now, but they're still a Big 12 team. I need to see a better defensive effort out of all the teams within the conference before I say they're the team to beat for 2019.
All right. Who is your top three for the Heisman right now? As we're 1 month in.
Right now, I go Joe Burrow, I go Tua, and I go Hurts in that order. That's what I'm looking at right now. Just from what Joe Burrow does, he's had that Heisman moment in terms of that Texas game. Tua, 17 touchdowns, no interceptions. In my opinion, still plays a tougher schedule than what Oklahoma's had to face so far. So that's why I give the nod to both Burrow and Tua over Hurts entering week number 5.
Hey, if LSU can beat Florida and Bama and win the SEC, then he is the Heisman Trophy winner. I'll agree with you on that.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, you're talking about a guy now that last year only threw 19 touchdown passes, and it's just lights out on fire heading into week 5. And he's got the type of resume, like you mentioned, the teams to beat. So he already knocked down one in Texas, still has to knock down Auburn, A&M, and Alabama. I mean, if he goes through that gauntlet, he's deserving, in my opinion.
Oh, stop it. Everyone beats A&M in a big game. Come on.
Except LSU last year, 76-74 and 7 overtime.
Didn't they change the overtime rules now because of that game?
They did, correct. So we'll see how that factors in. We haven't had an issue yet, but that should be something to keep an eye out on as we enter conference play in October.
Yeah, I had a listener ask me that question, Joe, like, all right, what happens now? And I'm like, I think you go to just 2-point conversions after a while. I don't even know.
I think it's after the third quarter. I could be wrong, but we got to double check on that in terms of that. The rules change each and every year. I mean, this overtime rule is unbelievable. I still think it's better than the NFL. The more college football that we can watch on a given Saturday in any given game is great. And if you have an over, you're never out of it. So that's always impressive as well from the Vegas angle.
Has the Pac-12 already been eliminated?
No. I don't think the Pac-12 has been eliminated. I think you have a team like Washington, you have a team like USC that are squaring off this coming Saturday. Obviously, Cal is the front runner, sitting at 4-0, but they can get back into the mix now if they run the table, get to the Pac-12 championship game. I think, or even Oregon, a team like Oregon in that regard, they have the type of resume that I think will warrant the conversation to have the Pac-12 back in the mix. Now, we'll see how it plays out. If you're going to ask me if we have a one-loss conference champ out of the Big 12 and a one-loss conference champ out of the Pac-12, which one would I favor? In 2019, I might favor the Pac-12 because of the Big 12's performance in the college football playoff the last few years.
All right, who are your top 4 teams then, buddy? What do you like?
Well, I'm going Clemson. I'm going Clemson, Alabama, LSU, and Ohio State is my top 4 entering week number 5.
So you got the SEC with 2 teams. This year I could see it happening again. I really can. There's so many good teams. It's insane. I mean, it's like I joke with you. The Gators have LSU, Auburn, and Georgia coming up. That's their schedule. Who does Ohio State have coming up? I mean, it's crazy when you think about it. It's nuts. What can we check out online, buddy, for previews, all that stuff? The floor is yours.
Yeah, you can follow me on GoForTheTwo.com. That's the number 2. Hit me up on Twitter, @GoForTheTwo. And if they want to stream the show every Saturday morning, I broadcast live for 6 hours, actually this Sunday, 7 hours from the FanDuel Sportsbook in the Meadowlands. sportsgrid.com. The show starts at 9 o'clock. I'll take you straight through 4 p.m. Eastern time. In-game, I have you covered for all your college football needs.
Oh, man. So when you're watching the game Saturday, are we just in a bunker? Like, what happens?
I'm in a studio with about 5,000 people around me in the FanDuel Sportsbook because it's the Meadowlands, and we have all the screens up. I do the pregame show for 3 hours with my partner, Rich Sermonello, and then after that, we go in-game live for 4 hours straight, 12 to 4. We're talking about all the in-game action as it plays out on the football field.
That is insane, man. It really is. All right, I got to ask you this as a bonus then. With sports betting, essentially, it's there in Jersey, right? We're just waiting for Florida. We know it's coming. How has it changed the landscape where now people can't actually bet on these games?
Well, it's great in the sense of viewership, Mark. People are hungry for content, but they're also turning on. In the Southeast, we know it's football. You know, college football, they're hungry. They're college football fans. In New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, they only know the pro game. So the sports betting angle has really brought a lot of viewership to the great game of college football that a lot of fans didn't know about prior to last year. So I think it can only make the sport better. We know that they've been doing it for years just illegally. Now it's on a legal landscape, and I think it's great for everybody involved.
Great stuff. Joe Lisi, GoForTheTwo.com. My man, thanks for your help and have a great weekend, okay?
Anytime. Love the show. Have a great weekend.